Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, fall upon us now. Come near. Unite us to Jesus in this moment, so that our life might be one with him and our death might be one with him, a death that begins even now, a death to the lusts of the flesh. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In his delightful little book, The Great Divorce, took me a second there. In his delightful little book, The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis tells the story of a man who journeys by bus from this hellish earthly realm to heaven, to the streams and meadows and mountains of the real world, heaven. And that's, of course, what the ghost, realizes when he gets there. For this man sees that as soon as the bus lands in the heavenly realm and the passengers begin to disembark, he recognizes that everyone on the bus that seemed so real when they first started out now are wispy, insubstantial things, not real, ghostly, compared to the reality of heaven. In fact, the ghosts can hardly walk on the sharp blades of grass because they're not real enough for the grass. One ghost standing over by himself, it's a more oily, rolling nature than the others. A little red lizard perches on his shoulder, snapping its tail, whispering in his ear. "Shut up," says the man. "Shut up, quiet." But then the red lizard snaps its tail another two times and whispers some more. And the man's frown turns into a smile. He turns and begins to head back towards the bus that will go back down to our earthly hell. "Going so soon?" asks a voice. "So soon?" It's a flaming angel, wreathed in fire and light. "Oh, yes," says the man. Yeah. I told this little guy here that his stuff wouldn't do up here and that he had to behave himself. And of course, he can't quite behave himself. So, you know, I know what he does and what he says. It's not really what's supposed to be happening here. So we're going to go back down. "Would you like me to make the lizard be quiet?" asks the flaming spirit. "Well, of course," says the ghost. "Then I shall kill it," says the angel. And now blubbering and excuses begin to tumble out of those translucent lips. "May I kill it?" Again and again, the angel asks, "May I kill it?" But now the red lizard begins to chatter incessantly into the man's ear. "Be careful, be careful," it cries. "Be careful, he can kill me, and he will with one wrong word from you. And then you won't ever have me again. I'll be gone forever and ever, and it won't be natural. I mean, this spirit, this ghost thing that's not real, it doesn't understand what you need as a real man. You're a real man, you're not a ghost. And if you get rid of me, you won't have the pleasure, you won't have the joy that I bring. And I know I've misbehaved sometimes. I know I've only given you dreams, but they've been sweet dreams, haven't they? Beautiful dreams. And I promise I'll be good. I'll only give you sweet and almost innocent, you could say quite innocent dreams." "May I kill it?" But now the ghost is convinced that this red lizard on his shoulder, if it dies, he will die. And so a bellowing back and forth takes place. "May I kill it? No, no. May I kill it? No." Until finally the ghost relents with a strangled cry, "Fine, blast it, just do it." And then, "God help me. God help me." And the angel's flaming hands reach down and grab that red lizard tear it from the ghost's shoulders, break its back, and throw it to the ground, even as the ghost begins to scream and wail in pain. But then something strange happens. The ghost begins to transform. He becomes a real human being, radiant, shining, almost godlike in beauty. And that red, broken body of the lizard begins to grow into the form of a beautiful white stallion. And the newborn man jumps on the back of the stallion, kicks it, and the two of them race across the green plain like a shooting star, even as all of the rocks and trees of heaven sing for joy. An interpreter draws near to the man who witnesses all this. The lizard is lust, the lust of the flesh, says the interpreter. But lust is a weak, whimpering, whispering thing compared with the richness and beauty of desire, passion, love, once lust has been killed. I think the reality is that we all have a little red lizard on our shoulder. A lizard whose forked tongue flickers in and out, whispering into our ear. The lizard lust of the flesh. St. Paul, in our epistle reading, warns us about this lizard. The lizard who speaks empty words, whispering in our ears, pulling and tugging at our desires for more and more. Oh, a beautiful dream even now. Come, come, to be a real human being, to not be a ghost like God might want. No, to be a real human being. Think about the money you could make, more of it, more, and the security you could buy with that. Think of how you could tell your next door neighbor about the scandal of your other next door neighbor and how those words could make you feel beautiful, make you feel important, loved. Think about, yes, the chaos in that next door neighbor's marriage and how maybe their spouse might be interested in something with you. A pleasant dream, a delightful thought. But of course, all lies that the red lizard whispers. St. Paul warns us in Ephesians 5 about the lusts of the flesh. The red lizards who have burrowed down deep into our shoulder, to where they've almost become part of who we are. He lists a number of them: sexual immorality, covetousness or greed, and coarse words or unfitting talk. Paul warns us that those who practice such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They live lives who are unthankful, lives that cannot stand reality itself, cannot stand the passion of love, the sharp blades of heaven's grass. Beware of the lizard, says Paul. Beware of it, for its words are empty. But of course, we look at that little lizard and we think, but he's so cute. His little tongue's flickering out, and I love him. How could I get rid of this lust of the flesh? This rampaging desire in my life that pulls me away from true love. Whatever that desire might be, we tend to think of flesh as meaning body, but in Paul's writing, flesh tends to mean that which pulls us away from God, that insatiable desire for more and more and more and more. After all, though, that lizard, we love the dreams that he tells us. because they seem to offer peace from our fears, a refuge from the problems around us. The whispered hopes that maybe we would find meaning in sex with someone outside of our spouse, in just a little more money in the bank account, in the brutal things we have to say about one another. But again, empty words, as St. Paul says, and we know it. Even though we love this little red lizard, we awaken after listening to him, feeling more ghostly, more hollow, less real, less like a true human being who loves. And yet, there is one who draws near in our epistle reading and in our gospel reading this morning. The angel of the Lord himself, the burning Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. St. Paul quotes an early Christian hymn, "Arise and shine, and let the sun shine upon you. Arise, O dead." Christ is shining. Christ, the one who comes to bind the devils, to bind even the lusts of our flesh, drawing near with flaming scarlet hands. May I kill that lizard? And we're blubbering, no, I love him. May I kill it? And even as he asks again and again, the Holy Spirit pulls that croak out of our lips. Okay, just do it. Blast you, just do it. God help me. And those Holy Spirit hands reach and begin to tear our lust out of our lives, breaking its back, even as we wail in pain. And suddenly we are beginning to transform. We're beginning to look like real human beings. Human beings that can walk on the grass of heaven, no longer ghostly. It's not the work of a moment, of course. It's a long lifetime's work, putting to death the lust of the flesh. C.S. Lewis, of course, knew this. This is why he sort of paints the final picture being in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, when finally, once and for all, that red lizard is and thrown to the ground and transformed into the stallion of passion, true love. Not the work of a moment. And yet, even now, Christ is at work breaking the red lizard's back. Even now, he is pouring his love into us. His passion. At the Lord's table, he breaks that lizard's back. He comes near to us and proclaims true love, what it means to be a real human being. And he begins to transform us into real human beings, no longer ghosts, wispy, oily, rolling in our essence, but those who live in passion, in the love of God, in the passion of Christ, in the self-sacrifice that saves the world. May I kill it? Will you let Jesus kill that red lizard? Will you let him? You will find that when he does, and as he does, it is good news. It is gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.